Appreciate that special, and I love that song. I like any song that can almost make a Baptist smile and shout. Amen. Almost. Appreciate so much everybody who stepped up, taught classes, preached, filled in while we were away. I'm so grateful. Thank you for your prayers for us, and thank you for your love and your generosity for my family. You guys are a great blessing to us, and we're going to continue on with what Brother Ben preached last Sunday night. He moved Sunday morning, Sunday night, and we're going to continue on with that, and Lord willing, we're actually going to be coming to the conclusion of the Gospels tonight, so I really want to challenge and encourage you to be here tonight for our services. This has been a journey. We move very slowly. We kind of walk through the Gospels on Sunday nights only off and on for a period of about 5 years, I think it's been. And so it's been a big process. It's been a long journey. We kind of put it in hyperdrive the last few months, couple of months, but it's just awesome to walk through the Scriptures like this. And so I hope you'll be here tonight and as we learn about the mission that God has given His disciples. But this morning we're in John chapter 21. Now, you guys remember on the day that Jesus rose from the grave, that first Sunday morning, Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Then he appeared to the other women who had come to the tomb on the road. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians and also in the account about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus that he appeared to them. And at some point in between appearing to those women and the two disciples on Emmaus, he appeared to Peter as well, because when they come back, they say he appeared to us and to Peter. And so that was revealed to them in some way. So he walked with those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then that same day, that same Sunday night, he appeared to 10 of the 11. Now remember, Judas had betrayed the Lord. It's no longer the 12. Now it's the 11. And 11 of them were there in that upper room, minus one, Thomas, who wasn't there that Sunday night. 8 days later, or a week later, he appeared to the 11 there, and it appears after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, that began at Passover. There was a week-long feast of unleavened bread. Those 8 days was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After that, the disciples leave Jerusalem and take the journey to Galilee, and you'll remember where you studied last week, seven of them were there fishing, and they saw the Lord at the Sea of Galilee, at the shore, when they all went a-fishing. Remember, they fished all night, and their fishing was that, at least that night, about like my fishing always is. They didn't catch anything. I don't really like fishing. I like catching. Some of you like to fish. I like to catch. And if there's no catching going on, I'm really not interested. So they had gone all night fishing but not catching. But then the Lord tells them, remember, he had disguised himself. They didn't recognize him. He says, cast on the other side. They get a haul of fish, 153 of them that they've dragged to the shore. Remember, the Lord had fixed breakfast for them. I don't know if stuff like that blows your mind, but we're talking about the risen Savior who had died for the sins of the world, who had been glorified, risen in a glorified body, and he's on the seashore cooking fish and bread for the disciples for breakfast. What a Savior. What a merciful, loving Savior. And so they come and they dine with the Lord. The invitation was to come and dine. And I got to tell you, honestly, I can't even read that verse, Brother Steve, without thinking about you. And I don't reckon they had fried catfish. Pretty sure they didn't. But I still think of Brother Steve every time I read that verse, come and dine. Let's stand together. We're in John chapter 21, verse 15. Just wanted to give you kind of where we're at. This is at least a week later for sure, but the journey to Galilee from Jerusalem probably took some time, so we're probably talking about 2 weeks, maybe even more. So this may be 14 to 21 days, somewhere in there, from the resurrection of the Savior. So we're several, at least a couple of weeks in now, when this event occurs. So verse 15 says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day, this opportunity, and I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict us. Lord, we pray that you would draw those who are still in their sins to repentance and faith in Jesus, and those who are saved, Lord, that you would help us to love you and to be obedient to you. Father, forgive us when we fall short. Do a work in our hearts today that would help us, God, to leave this place changed today, loving you and living for you more faithfully than ever before. Please do a work in our hearts and help me, for I'm nothing without you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus invites them to come and dine on the fish and bread. And after they finished eating their breakfast, Jesus singles out Peter. Now, Peter's been singled out a couple of times here lately. You'll remember that he made the boast that he would never deny. We'll talk about that more in a little bit. But when Jesus rose and he appeared to the women, he said, go tell my brethren and Peter to meet me in Galilee, where I told them I would appear, where I would meet with them. So there are some things, some details that we don't have recorded. Jesus had appointed a place for them to meet him in Galilee. And even though they didn't understand the resurrection, they didn't understand what was going to happen, there were still some things that Jesus had told them that they apparently remembered after he rose again. And so there was a time and place they would meet there. A lot of details that aren't included for us. And John tells us about that, right? If we wrote down everything that Jesus ever said and did, the world couldn't contain the books. Like there's just not enough here. So God's given us exactly what we need, but there are some clues here, some evidences that there was more that was said and done. And so the Lord showed some special attention to Peter, I think in large part because what Peter had done. Because of his denial, the Lord wanted to extend that mercy and grace especially to him, to know that the Lord still loved Peter, to know that he wasn't done with Peter, to know that even though he had messed up really, really bad, listen, to swear that you don't know Jesus is kind of a big deal. And that even though he had done that, God still loved him, Jesus still had a purpose for him, and still was going to use him, and so he singles him out. And now, as they're dining here, he looks at Peter and says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And I know a lot of people, there's a couple of different ways that people view this. Some people think this means, Simon, do you love me more than these things? A lot of people, and I think Brother Ben mentioned this last Sunday, a lot of people view this as the idea that Peter had just kind of given up. You know, Jesus is dead. Yeah, he rose again, but we don't really know what's going on anymore, so I'm just going to go back to fishing. Jesus called me from fishing to follow him, but he died, so now I'm going to go back to my old life, my old profession. I'm going to go back to fishing. And some people think that. And so they think that he had kind of gone away and he was a bad influence and got the other disciples to leave and we're going to go fishing too. Like, we're leaving this life of ministry for Jesus and we're going to go back to fishing as our profession, as our livelihood. That's what we're going to do. And so Jesus, when he asked, do you love me more than these? A lot of people look at it and they think Jesus is saying, Peter, do you love me more than these things? Peter, do you love me more than your boat and your net? Do you love me more than fish? And people look at it and think that that's the way it is. Another way to consider it would be this, that maybe it could be that Peter didn't go fishing because he was leaving the ministry and didn't want to follow Jesus anymore. Maybe they were just hungry. Maybe they'd been hiding in the upper room for an extended period of time, and the way that they could feed themselves, and remember, I don't know if it has occurred to you, but Peter had a mother-in-law. That means that he had a wife. He had responsibilities he had to take care of. They had to feed themselves. They had families to consider. They had some things to do. So it could be that they didn't go to leave the ministry. They just went fishing to get some food and to provide some living for their family. Could be. And that when Jesus asked the question, lovest thou me more than these, he wasn't asking, do you love me more than these things? But he was asking, hey, Peter, Do you still think you love me more than the other disciples love me? I personally am persuaded that's the case. I don't think Jesus was asking Peter, hey, do you love me more than boats and nets and fish? I think he was saying, Peter, you know, a little while ago, a couple of weeks ago, you said that you love me more than the rest of the disciples. You said that you would never deny me. You said that even if everyone else forsook me, you would die for me. You declared that you loved me more than anybody else did. Peter, do you still feel that way today? Do you still think you love me more than everybody else loves me? You see, he was getting to the heart of the issue, I believe. You remember, Matthew 26:31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, also said all the disciples. So I just want you to consider this. When Jesus tells him they're all going to deny, he says, not me. I know you said all, Lord, but you obviously didn't mean me. By the way, it's not very fruitful for us to argue with Jesus. Notice the scripture that Jesus points to. He identifies himself as the shepherd and his disciples as the flock. And notice in our current text, when the Lord's pointing to the love of Peter, he says to him, feed my lambs. You see how God ties it all together, and he does it through his Spirit, and he does it through the scriptures. So I believe the question is not, hey, Peter, do you love me more than boats and nets? I think there's great application there. You ought to love Jesus more than things. You ought to love Jesus more than you love your house. You ought to love Jesus more than you love your vehicles. You ought to love Jesus more than you love your things and your toys and your hobbies. We ought to love Jesus more than we love these things. If we had to give it all up, it shouldn't matter because we have Jesus and we have everything. Amen. It ought to be that way. Amen. If you have a boat, you ought to love Jesus more than you love your boat. Whatever you have, we ought to love him more. There's great application there, but I don't think that's the question. I think the question is, do you love me? Do you love me more than these others love me? And you ought to love Jesus more than you love things, but you ought not think that you love Jesus more than everybody else does. We ought to recognize that we're limited, that we don't love Jesus as much as we should, that we don't love him more than other people do. And it's good for us to recognize that wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, you and I all have room for improvement. However much you love Jesus in this moment today, you can love him more. And it doesn't do you any good to compare yourself with one another and say, you know what, I feel like I love Jesus more than they do. There's nothing good that comes from that. But what you can do is look at yourself and look at him and say, I need to love him more. Jesus asked the question, do you love me? Now, most of you that have heard this preached on or studied it out for yourself, there's a lot of benefit to study out the words that are behind our English words. We have the word love repeated here many times, but in the Greek, it's different words. Jesus asks him, do you love me? And he uses the Greek word for love, agapao. In this word, agapao is that unconditional, sacrificial love that God teaches us about in 1 Corinthians 13, that love that doesn't boast in itself, that love that doesn't seek its own, that love that is sacrificial, that's unconditional. That's the kind of love the Lord is talking about, the kind of love that he has for us. And he says, do you love me with this kind of sacrificial, unconditional love? Peter, do you love me in that way? And Simon Peter answers the Lord and says, Lord, you know, yes, you know, Lord, that I love you. But Peter doesn't use the same word in the Greek that Jesus uses. He uses the Greek word phileo. Now, we've talked about this before. Most of you are familiar with the city of Philadelphia. It is known as the city of brotherly love. That's where it comes from. It's the city of brotherly love. It comes from that Greek word phileo. It's a brotherly love. And so where just a couple of weeks ago, Peter would declare that he loves Jesus more than everybody else, even if all the rest of these punks deny you, Lord, I won't deny you. Basically, was what he's saying. Now, when Jesus says, do you love me unconditionally? Do you love me sacrificially? Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. But he won't boast of a greater love than he just won't boast of a greater love than he recognizes in himself. Something's changed in Peter. That night when he saw the Lord, that early morning when the rooster crowed, isn't that amazing? That right at that moment, he looks at Jesus looks at him, and the rooster starts crowing. I heard a preacher say one time, God sent an angel down and poked that rooster at just the right time. I believe it. See, there's a lot of things there that you just... He had boasted of his love. And in that moment when the rooster began to crow, he was broken. And the Word of God says that he went out and wept bitterly. He was broken over his denial of Christ, and it changed him. Jesus said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Listen, he was converted in his repentance. He was converted in being broken over his sin. He was changed from one thing to another. Peter was never the same after that morning. He was a changed man. Now, I remind you, one of the reasons I don't think that Peter was leaving to just go back to fishing as a profession and not going to try to preach Jesus anymore, this was the third time the Lord appeared to them. It's the third time they had seen the risen Savior. Like, I just find it difficult to believe, as boneheaded as those guys could be sometimes, that after you saw the risen Savior once, much less twice, the third time, you're just not going to go away from him. I have a hard time believing that. These are people who had followed him from the beginning. Their lives were in jeopardy. Yes, maybe they were afraid. Some of them doubted. But listen, they had seen the risen Savior, and I just find it difficult to believe they were going away. Could be wrong. I was wrong once. So Jesus says, do you agapao me? He says, you know, Lord, that I phileo you. I have a brotherly love for you. And Jesus gives him the first command. But we're going to see this question three times. The first time we see the question, his response is, you know that I love you. And the first command is, feed my lambs. Now, this is interesting because just like there's different words in the Greek for love, there's different words in the Greek here for feed that we see in our passage. Here in verse 15, the word feed is the Greek word bosko, and it means to pasture. It means to pasture, to put them out to pasture. And it, in the word lambs, is the word arnion. And just bear with me a second, okay? I know you guys love going to English class with me, but there's some really good truth here that I want you to get. The Greek word for lambs is arnion. It's different than the word for sheep we're going to see in a minute. And it's the diminutive form of Aaron, which is sheep. So basically the word lamb is about what you would think. It means small sheep. This is deep theology. You with me? A lamb is a small sheep. Now maybe that's not too impressive for you, but this ought to be. This word is only used one time outside of the book of Revelation. One time, and it's in this verse. Every other time, it's in the book of Revelation where it refers to the lamb. 28 out of 29 times. The other time, the 29th time it's used, is to describe the horns of a lamb. Listen to me. This word that Jesus used is only going to be found in your Bible anywhere else referring to himself. And I just think there's some beauty here. because he told Peter that he was going to use him to build his church. What does that mean? It means that he was going to give him the gospel. He was going to give him the charge to go and preach the gospel. And who do we read about at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes? The main one we see preaching that day is Peter. And he would begin to use him as he was empowered by the Spirit, preaching the gospel, bringing people to him. And he says, I want you to feed my lambs. Is he saying literally, hey, Peter, don't forget, I got John taking care of mom, but I need you to go take care of my lambs back home. No, he didn't have anything. He's speaking spiritually. And remember how it ties back into Matthew 26? The shepherd was killed and the flock scattered. And now the Lord says, listen, Peter, I want you to go find my little lambs. I want you to go find my little sheep and I want you to feed them. I want you to take care of them spiritually. And who are they? They're identified with Christ. They're mine. He is the Lamb. And the only other place we see this word used is describing those who are followers of Jesus. They belong to Him. They are made like Him. Through faith in Him, they have become made like Him. Listen, I just want you to get this today because I think it's beautiful. If you trust Jesus as your Savior, He has made you. He has made you and is working to make you like Himself. Your destiny as a believer in Jesus is to be made like Jesus. He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's why He saved you, to make you like Himself. I mean, have you ever thought about it? Why did He save you? Well, He saved me so I wouldn't have to go to hell. That's why He saved me. Of course that's part of it. He came to redeem you from the penalty of your sins. The wages of sin is death. He didn't want you to die forever, separated from Him in the lake of fire. That's true. But His purpose in saving you wasn't just to get you out of hell. His purpose in saving you is to make you like Him. And when He tells Peter, I want you to feed my lambs, this picture is, I want you to feed and take care of the ones I have redeemed to be made like me, who is the Lamb of God. The first question, do you agapeo me? Lord, you know that I phileo you. And He says, feed my lambs. The second question is in verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now the first question, he makes it a comparative. Do you love me more than these? Now he's just asking him directly. It's not in comparison to anybody else, but you, just you by yourself, do you love me? And I just want to say today that Jesus is probably asking us in His heart, in our hearts, through His Spirit this morning, do you love Jesus? Do you love Him? Do you love Him with an unconditional, sacrificial love? Do you love Him with the love that says, I'm going to die to myself. I'm going to give my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole life, all the strength that I have, everything that I am, I'm going to give it all to Jesus. Do you love Him with that kind of love? Now this morning you might say, yes, absolutely I do. But I'm going to tell you what, Peter wouldn't, because he answers with the same word. Lord, you know that I phileo you. You're asking, do I love you with a godly, unconditional love? But Lord, I'm going to just say I love you with a brotherly love. I'm not going to say that I love you to the degree that you're asking me. Jesus wants to know this morning if we love Him. I wonder what our answer would be. Is it interesting to you? It is to me. I don't think the Lord was very concerned with what words came out of Peter's mouth in the moment. I think that the answer would be borne out in what Peter did after the moment. Jesus didn't say, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you, Lord. All right, good, say so. No, He said, feed my lambs. And here He says, feed my sheep. I told you the words are different. Now in verse 16, the word feed is not bosko. It's not to put out to pasture to feed, but this word is the Greek word poimeno. It means to tend. It comes from the Greek word poimen, for which is a shepherd. Poimen is the word shepherd, and this is poimeno. It means to shepherd. In other words, this is, by the way, it's the word we get for pastor. So first he says, I want you to feed them. I want you to provide for them nourishment. Now he says, I want you to tend them. I want you to shepherd them. I want you to pastor them. Now the word here is not lambs. It's the grown-up word, probaton. It's sheep. And I don't want to read into things too much. Actually, sometimes I do. But check this out. The word probaton that we get translated sheep, when you look at the root of it, it literally means an animal that is a creature that is going forward. It's translated sheep all the time. That's what it is. But if you look up the definition in the Greek, you're going to find this, at least in Strong's. It's basically a four-legged animal that moves forward. And so that made me wonder, can sheep not walk backwards? We all know donkeys can. Anybody's been around a donkey knows that they'll go backwards. They'll lock in and pull back. I don't want to read too much into it, but can I just say this? Peter can't shepherd and feed and help the sheep who aren't moving forward. He can't pastor them if they're going backwards. He can't shepherd them and help them and guide them and point them to Christ and strengthen and encourage those brethren and sistren that are going back. He can only help the ones who are moving forward. You see, I take some of this personally because as a pastor, I want to help you. I want to help you and strengthen you in your faith. I want to help you and your family to live for God. I want to help you make a difference for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I want to strengthen and encourage you and work with you and serve God with you. But I can't help you if you're going backwards. Peter couldn't help them if they were backing up. They had to be moving forward. And I think it's weird that the Greek word, when you dig down into it, where does it come from? What does it mean? It's something that's moving forward. I thought that was weird. But it's really not. It really makes perfect sense that the shepherd can only lead those that are going forward. And remember, the shepherd gets out front, and his sheep know his voice, and the sheep follow him. Maybe it's just because we're around Oklahoma, and cattle are different than sheep. Some more deep theology for you. Cows are different than sheep. Boys are different than girls. See, I'm trying to help you today. You don't lead cows. You drive them. You drive them. They didn't have cattle leads around here. They had cattle drives. Did you know that? I haven't been there, but even today, I've heard stories not so long ago. I've read accounts of even to this day where there are shepherds who lead sheep and have flocks of sheep like this, where they get out in front of them and they walk in front of them. They'll sing and their voice will call out and their herds will follow them. What a beautiful picture. But they've got to be moving and following. And he says, listen, do you agapeo me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. And he says, feed, tend to, pastor, shepherd my sheep. There's a move from the lambs, from the little sheep to the grown-up sheep. There's a picture of maturity that as the word of God is preached and people are fed spiritually, that they mature. There ought to be some maturing going on in all of us. And we follow, we move forward. Then the third question is asked in verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now this is interesting. The first two times he says, do you agapeo me? Do you have an unconditional, sacrificial, godly love for me, Peter? The third time, Jesus changes the word that he uses. The third time, Jesus says, do you phileo me? Do you have a brotherly love for me. Now, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I phileo thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. It's hard not to kind of project our thinking into the text sometime, and I want to be careful not to do that, but you tell me how you would take it. Hey, you this morning, disciple, do you have a godly love for Jesus? Well, you know, I love him. I don't know if I love him as much as I should, but I do love him. Ask the second time, do you have a godly love, a sacrificial, unconditional love for Jesus? You know, I love him. I have a brotherly love for him. I love him. I don't know how much, but I do love him to a degree. And the third time, he doesn't ask, do you have this unconditional love? He says, do you have a brotherly love for Jesus? Do you have that familial, brotherly, comrade kind of love? Do you have that for Jesus? It seems to me almost to say, do you even love me like a brother? You won't say that you love me unconditionally. You won't say that you love me sacrificially. You won't say that you love me with a godly love. Do you even love me like a brother? So he's grieved that he asked the third time. And when we read it in the English, we just say, well, he asked, does he love him? Does he love him? Does he love him? But he was grieved that he asked the third time. The third time he asked the question, he's grieved because of the word that he uses. Not just that he asks again, but that the Lord says, you know what, I'm not even going to ask you anymore. I'm going to downgrade the level of love that I want to ask you about. Do you love me at least at this level? He's grieved. And Peter, grieved in his spirit, says, Lord, you know everything. You already know. You know the love that I have for you. And the Lord's command, the third command is, first remember he said, feed my lambs, pasture them, provide for them. Then he says, feed my sheep, tend to them, shepherd them. The third time he says, feed, and he goes back to that first word. This is that word bosco again. It's to pasture, it's to provide nourishment for them, my sheep. That word he used the second time, the grown-up sheep. So when they're lambs, you feed them. And as they mature, you pasture them. You shepherd them. And when they are mature, you continue to feed them. Can you just get this? We never arrive until we see Jesus. We need to be growing spiritually from the moment we trust Christ until the day we see him. And I don't know if anybody in this church has ever thought this in their heart or maybe even said it out loud. Like I'm kind of like I've learned all I can learn. Like there's really not much else for me to learn or to do. I've kind of arrived. I don't know that anybody's ever said that. I don't know that anybody's even thought the words like I've arrived. But I will say this: I've known Christians in my life who act like they think they've arrived. I've met church members who think, who at least act like they think that there's not really anything else for them to learn or to do. And if you are that person today, you need to repent because you have not arrived. And having the attitude that you have arrived and living in a way that would indicate that you think you've arrived, that you have nothing else to learn and no more growing to do, would indicate that you're actually more immature than you think. We all have growing to do. We all have learning to do. Listen, and just have any, just this past week. Maybe you don't need a week. I don't need a week. I can go just yesterday. But just in this past week, have you said or done something that you should not have said or done? Would you just raise your hand if you, anybody? I'll give you a second to think about it. Some of you might be lying to yourself right now. I had to go all week. There have been several things this past week. I messed up. I said things I shouldn't have said. I responded in ways I shouldn't have responded. Some of you have already thought some things about me this morning during this message that you shouldn't have thought. Shame on you. He teaches him in this moment to love him, but he teaches him to serve him. And how does he serve Jesus? By feeding and shepherding and feeding those who belong to Jesus. In other words, you and I serve him by serving one another. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Very quickly, let's walk through verses 18 through 24. Verse 18, Jesus goes on after he says, feed my sheep. He continues by saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now that's weird, a weird prophecy, isn't it? But the scriptures explain for us. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said, saith unto him, follow me. So the Lord says, I want you to feed my sheep. And then he says, listen, when you were young, you got yourself dressed, you went wherever you wanted to, but when you get old, someone else is going to dress you, to gird you, and they're going to take you where you don't want to go. You're going to be taken against your will. And this he said to signify what death he should glorify God. Historians have been consistent throughout the ages that Peter was crucified. Historians say that it was in around 67 AD that Peter was crucified. And history records that he requested not to be crucified upside right, because he felt himself unworthy to be crucified in the same way Jesus was, and so they crucified him upside down. They took him, and they carried him away to a cross, where he died for the crime of preaching the resurrected Savior. Why did the Lord ask him three times if he loved him? Kind of hard not to see the parallel with three times he denied the Lord. Why did he continue to tell him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep? Why? Why did he reiterate it over and over and over? Because Peter was going to face a lot of difficulty in following Jesus. There's going to be, listen, that night of the trials of Jesus was not the only temptation he would face, not the only hardship he would face, not the only difficulty he would face. And he wanted this to be settled in his heart. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Then serve me, serve me, serve me. This morning we need to look in our hearts. And I believe the Lord would ask you today, do you love me? And if the answer is yes, Lord, you know I love you, then the Lord would say to you, serve me. And when he ends it all, he says, follow me. Isn't it amazing? Peter's journey started with Jesus when he came by the seashore of Galilee. And they were fishing. And he says, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And can I just ask you, can remind you this morning, where are they? They're on the seashore of Galilee. And what had they been doing? They had been fishing and they caught nothing. See, Jesus and Peter have come full circle. They're back at the beginning. And yet it's just starting. The command hasn't changed. Jesus says, follow me. What does that mean? Follow me back to Jerusalem, to the Mount of Olives? Follow me to the ascension up into heaven? No, follow me all the days of your life. Follow me until somebody carries you away to a cross. Follow me to the very end, Peter. That's what he's telling him. He's telling him this to signify by what death, by the way, what death he would glorify God. His martyrdom would glorify God. So Jesus has a prophecy of a glorifying death. Amen. And he gives him the fourth command, to follow me. Now, Peter was changed. He was converted. He wasn't the same. He was a different man. But he wasn't completely different. It's pretty evident when you look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Remember who that is? It's John. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Remember back at the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper? John was laying there on the chest of Jesus, and they're like, ask him who's going to betray. That's John. And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? So while they're there at breakfast, apparently they get up and they're going somewhere. Peter looks back and says, what about John? What's he going to do? Then with this, in verse 22 says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Listen, this is so typical of people who follow Jesus. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Follow me. Okay, Lord, but what about him? What about her? How quick are we to look around the room at somebody else and say, what about them? Some of you have multiple children in your home. If you give one child a job to do, has your child not ever looked at one of their siblings and said, well, what about them? What are they going to do? For those of you that don't have multiple children in your home, I'll just testify for you, it happens. Would we do that? While you're in the middle of a job, you're looking around to see how much work somebody else is doing. As if to make sure, some of you, to make sure you don't do more than somebody else does. And others of you, to make sure you do more than somebody else does. And Jesus says something great that we could all take away today. What is that to thee? My kindergarten teacher, Mrs. Craig, taught me a valuable life lesson when I was young. I was in kindergarten. I was always concerned about everybody else. And she taught me this phrase, mind your own business. I mean, I didn't learn it very well, but she taught me the lesson. Mind your own business. It's not your business. You follow me. He says, follow thou me. And by the way, in the Greek, we would put an exclamation point here. Like, and I think there's something to that. Peter doesn't really say much back. Because basically the Lord says, mind your own business, you follow me. Amen. Like it's enough. And you parents do that with your kids, right? You don't worry about him, you do what I told you to do. Right? And the Lord says, it's enough. Listen, Peter, don't worry. Listen, whatever my will is for John, that'll be John's. But for you, I want you to follow me. And by the way, he wanted John to follow him too, and he wants you to follow him as well. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that this disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, Peter says, listen, I'm going to die. What about John? Is he going to die too? Like, is everybody going to die or is it just me? And the Lord's making a point. And the gossip train was rolling back then just like it is today. They didn't even need Facebook for this. The saying went abroad. The Lord said that John isn't going to die. He's going to live forever. Peter, he's going to get crucified, but John, he gets to live forever. No wonder he's the beloved. Hey, can you hear that nonsense going on? Is that what the Lord says? No, that's not what he said. He said, mind your own business and follow me. Verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. The brethren were confused because they didn't actually listen to what Jesus actually said. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. He goes on to say in John 14, 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. If you love me, keep my commandments. He says in John 15, 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Jesus ties obedience with love constantly. Herein is love, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So this morning, I want to ask you the question, because I believe the scripture asks of us a question today. Do you love Jesus? I want you to contemplate that while our musicians come and you stand with me. Do you love Jesus? I mean, do you love him enough to let everything else go? Do you love him because he calls us to love him more than you love your mom or your dad, more than you love your wife or your husband, more than you love your own children, more than you love your house and your possessions, more than you love your own life even? Do you love him? Do you love him? I'm asking you a question. Do you love Jesus? Because the question is not going to be answered right now with an amen. It's going to be answered when you walk out those doors in how you live. How are you living? Whether you love Jesus or not is going to be shown what you do tomorrow. Monday morning shows how you love Jesus, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and can I say Friday and Friday night and Saturday night, every moment of every day declares whether we actually love him or not. So let's pray that God will give us the grace to love him more and more, that we might abound in his love. This morning, if he's convicting your heart, a decision that you need to make, listen, this time of invitation is an opportunity for you to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to pray about something, maybe you need to make a decision, whatever it is. If the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart, you respond in faith and obedience while we sing.